Let's just take a moment as we begin today. I suggest we close our eyes for a minute. Let's take a breath. And whatever our vibrational state of awareness might be at this moment, let us just simply realize that there are thousands, if not millions, of people all over planet Earth who are doing work very similar to this. Who have set their willingness and their intention to raise the vibration of all beings. Not to be seduced by the illusion of separateness, however it might show itself, whether it's through anger or fear or some other form of ego structure. And that what we do literally is we rise above that. So it no longer has relevance in our lives. And so joining with all of those other beings in spirit, in grace and gratitude, and you can open your eyes when you're ready. And I'd just like to share this piece that we ended with last week because I think it's tremendously powerful and important. And you can read along with this or not, doesn't matter. Well, it matters, but whatever you decide to do is okay.
What page?
Page 270. As I go on my way, I stop and see all that I have seen, and I recognize it for what it has been, a part of myself outpictured in form. And I recognize the creations for what they have been, and I give thanks. I give humble thanks for my awareness now, and I will go forward and release them to the light. As I go, I know. As I go, I support myself in love. As I go, I accept the gifts of the Spirit that are acclimating to my frequency, so I may better serve the needs of others who I will carry to their next level of knowing. I am journeying now. I am in spirit. I am in frequency. And I am about to extend myself to the manifestation of love. I sing a song today of wonder. I sing a song today of love. And I am rejoicing in my choice to be free. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. I found that image of carrying other people to be a little disturbing. Maybe just that's me. And so what I did was I translated that in my own mind, and I hope I'm not overly rationalizing this. Much of what we talk about and discern as being work or labor spiritual work, I'm doing my spiritual work now, okay, is I have a tendency to use material world understanding for spiritual understanding, and they're not the same thing. And essentially, what we call spiritual work is not really work at all. It's just it's being in the flow of grace. It's being in the flow of love. It's essentially is letting go and letting the current take you and take you to wherever it is you need to do your next learning, which can be smooth or can be rough, depending upon how we choose to take it in. And so the word carry other people seem like, oh my God, you know, it sounds very codependent to me. Right? Well, because I look around and say, well, I must be carrying you. Because you need to be carried much more than I do. So we're kind of making a judgment about that. And that's not it at all. When we intentionally raise our vibration, it's almost like being able to, let's suppose if I could really, really raise my vibration beyond the physical, then I could walk through that wall without a problem. Because 99% of me is empty space anyway. You know, all atoms are practically empty space. And so this is just empty space walking through empty space, not holding on to any kind of illusion. And so if you can hold on to that image of imagine that I could raise my vibration, not just walk through a wall, but move through whatever barriers might be in front of me. And by doing so, if you're ever, let's say if you're driving your car and you decide to, you know, save on gasoline a little bit and you decide to drive behind this truck, so you drive in their draft. Okay? And so what is happening is that a large percentage of your energy is being taken up by being in inside of that vacuum that's sort of gently pulling you along, right? Without you having to do anything, without your car having to do anything extra. So if you can imagine that you or I or any one of us is in a state of willingness and raising our vibration, and we're moving through or flowing with, whatever words you want to think about that on, we're moving through or we're flowing with, and then there are a couple of people behind you and me, right, that if they are, in this case, if they are close enough, can just sort of be, walk within that draft that has been created by my raising my vibration, and then theirs does too. It's effortless. It's not like they're taking anything away from me. It's not like I have to do something for them. It's not even that I'm judging anybody, because 9 times out of 10 I'm walking through somebody else's draft that's gone before me. Okay. But do you get a sense of that? It's not energetic in the sense of having to, you know, grit my teeth and do something. It's just a natural movement of things. And so just as I am walking, that's what we talk about Christ consciousness so much. Because literally what we are doing is we are walking in the draft of that person who has gone before us and created that space. Okay. How do we discover our Buddha nature? By recognizing that there is one, right? Mm-hmm. And recognizing that someone has discovered that before we did. Not by reading a book, although that can be helpful, that can be nice. But essentially about allowing ourselves to be in that energy, and not just as a passive thing. I'm not just like sitting in a sauna someplace, right? I am in that energy field as I am actually being drawn to being moving forward. So there's activity on my part, not just passivity. And yet it is a natural movement that's taking place here.
Can you feel it?
I think so. I think you can feel it. Can you feel it? Let's say, can you feel it when you are loved?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is that raising your vibration? Now, we might not always be able to feel it in an emotional sense or even in a physical sense. That's where the whole object of faith comes in, which is really another way of knowing. But there are certainly going to be times, I think, when we do feel that. It doesn't need an explanation. That's kind of the nice part. I'm always trying to explain things, in case you hadn't noticed that. But it doesn't defy explanation, it's beyond explanation. And it's a space where you don't need that. Say, oh, I am being moved, I am being pulled forward.
So is that intuition, we call intuition?
I think intuition and faith are very, very, for me, they're very closely related to one another. There are various forms of knowing. We can know things physically, in the physical realm. I can know things through my senses. All right. Sight, sound, smell, touch, etc. Okay. I can also know things through my intellect. Mathematical equations or proof of something. Okay. And again, it doesn't have to be in scientific, all right, but knowing something is true. I can know, this is partly my senses and partly my intellect of knowing what color I am wearing or what I'm doing. I'm moving this, I'm moving that. We can also know things through our emotions. How I feel. Now, how I feel is not necessarily the truth of what's really going on, but it is how I feel. And that can be confusing sometimes, all right? Because I think how I feel is the truth. But if I recognize my feelings are about as fickle as the weather, that they're going to change. In fact, what's going to happen is I'm going to forget I'm feeling this way because something else is going to make me feel something different 2 seconds from now. And then I might say, well, what was I feeling 5 minutes ago? And then I could go dig that up if I want to, all right? But it's going to be kind of a little bit disappointing because it's not going to have the same stuff connected with it. But then also I can know through my intuition. My intuition tells me when I walk into a room like this, I go, oh, it feels nice. Thank you. Or if I walk into a cocktail party and everybody is laughing and patting one another on the back, and yet I walk in there and I sense this huge overtone of anger and fear and manipulation. That's my intuition. There's absolutely no proof of that on the sensory level. There's none on the intellectual level. There might not be any on the emotional level. But my intuition says, get the hell out of here. This is not a good place to be. This is not healthy. Now, if you told somebody that, or checked it out with somebody else, they might say, oh, well, you're crazy. Look, everybody's having a great time. And this is more than just my gut telling me. This is a form of knowing that's going on within me. I know I need to get out of here. This is not a good place for me to be. I'm not making a judgment about anybody else. I'm saying for me. Now, the next step or the next level is what we call faith. Very closely related to the intuitive level of our understanding. And yet, in some ways that I cannot explain in words, in some ways a deeper level of understanding, of knowing. When Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? When someone was asking for a miracle, do you believe I can do this? And the wonderful response that came about from that, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe as much as I possibly can in this moment, right? And that's as much as I got, right? And I know I can believe more or better, and you can help me to do that. And what Jesus' reply was, that's enough. Thank you. Yes?
What do you see the difference between trust and faith?
Difference between trust and faith.
I struggle with that.
Okay. Thank you for that. Obviously, I'm struggling with that one too because I want to get out of my head. Somebody once asked me, Jerry, has anybody ever asked you a question you didn't have an answer for? And I had to stop. I said, well, I don't have an answer to that one. Huh? Again, there's a huge similarity. Energetically, faith is a knowing. Trust, in human terms, is somewhat of a blind kind of faith. Right?
Kind of naive as well.
Pardon me?
Kind of naivete.
Well, sometimes it can be, right?
Instead of a knowing.
Now, but here's where they kind of overlap, right? Let's suppose my emotional self is in a depressed state, which it is occasionally. That I don't feel very good about myself. Right? And Margot says to me, I love you unconditionally. Now my emotional self wants to go, ah, that's bullshit. Okay, because I don't feel that way. I can't buy that emotionally. Right? I might be able to buy that intellectually. Now my intuitive self kind of is going on a little bit on past experience. It goes, well, you know, I know this was true in the past, so it's probably true now. But it stretches itself a little bit more and says, is it really true now? And my emotional self keeps wanting to intrude and saying, no, that's not true because you don't feel that way. And then I say, well, let's put that emotional self aside for a moment. And let me be more in touch with my intuitive or faith-based self and say, what is it that I truly believe in this moment? I believe I am loved even if I don't feel it. Now that might have begun with trust. Okay? I trust Margot's not going to lie to me. Okay? Or somebody, I like to put somebody else in that picture, they're not going to lie to me, or they haven't lied to me. So I trust what they're saying. But I'm just speaking about me personally, I'm still looking for something more. I'm still looking for a deeper clarification of that truth. And so I believe that's where my sense of knowing through faith comes in. All right. And again, this goes beyond words, I can't explain. It might have begun with trust, but it goes a little bit further than that, if that makes any sense. Okay. I didn't mean to get off the subject so much. Well, really, we never get off the subject in here. It seems like we do. Anybody else have anything they want to explore with that? Before we...
I think the only thing that I was thinking was that trust is part of faith,
yes,
to me.
And again, I don't want to overly play with semantics here because I think each one of us probably has a different kind of experience with that. All right. So some people might speak of trust as being blind faith. Other people might speak of trust as being belief. You know, and actually equating them in their mind. So I think we might all have a little bit of a different take on that, but I think it was important that we explore something like that to if nothing else, to clarify that a little bit more for ourselves. Right. To know that to know that faith is an actual way of knowing rather than a belief that just is there because it's supposed to be. Okay. Even mystery, which we are encouraged to live in, which the mind cannot grasp or understand, okay, is still an active process. It's not just total surrender into a complete unknown. even though it might seem that way. When I was first getting sober a number of years ago, I recall, looking back, I didn't know this at the moment, but looking back, I was called upon to surrender, just absolutely and totally, into God or whatever existed outside of my ego, okay? When I looked back on that situation, I remember thinking to myself, you know, after I surrender, my situation might be worse than it is now. I didn't know that. I didn't know that, at least consciously. But I think I knew somewhere in my being that with this surrender of my consciousness, or whatever level of consciousness I had at that particular moment, that my life had to be better than what it was. I did not have any tangible proof for that. But I think there must have been a knowing on my part, on some level of my being, that things are going to be better on the other side. Because I couldn't imagine them being any worse. So again, when we talk about faith, we might not even be talking about a conscious knowing. That's why it's very closely related to intuition, because intuition is not all completely conscious either. It might be an unconscious knowing that there is something better on the other side, or I'm surrendering to something bigger than I am that is going to lead me, guide me, see me, feel me, touch me, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
Is intuition somehow connected or different from what we refer to as our inner guide?
Not necessarily, no. But
because I think of the inner guide as actually having knowledge that I don't consciously have knowledge of.
Okay.
But intuition feels more like, you know, it comes and it goes.
But if we're all one, then the knowledge my guide has is mine just as much as it is. It's not coming from an outside being. I mean, we could look at it that way.
Yeah.
I remember reading a book called Emmanuel's Book years ago. It was written by a channel by the name of Pat Rodegast. She did a video which was quite impressive. But I remember Ram Dass did the introduction to the book and to the video. And I was kind of surprised because I didn't usually do stuff like that. And I remember what he said. He said, whether or not Emmanuel is a separate being or a part of Pat's unconscious really doesn't matter. What matters is the information that is flowing from this being speaks to me of truth. So whether I say, oh, that came from my inner guide or that came from my intuition, some days there's not going to be any difference between the two. And it's only in my mind, and I'm speaking for myself because I'm doing some work on this level right now, it's only in my mind that I create a level of separation. Oh, that's coming from there. That really it's coming from this well of knowledge that I am also a part of. Right? Now my ego is not. My personality self is not. But in some ways what I'm doing is I'm bypassing that. So when I listen to my intuition, or ask my intuition, or ask my angels, or ask my divine self, what do I need to do here? What is happening here in my life? What do I need to learn from this? The answer is coming both to me and from me. It is coming from my divine self and to my divine self and to my personality self, where the activity is probably going to need to take place. But it's not really a separation. The separation is kind of comfortable for my mind to be able to put it in a little, oh, that came from my intuition, okay? Or that came from my inner guide. Or that came from the angels. Or that came from Paul's guides, right? And that's all very nice, but it really doesn't, in some ways it really doesn't matter a whole lot. Does that make any sense?
Yes, okay. Yes, thank you.
Good question. We're diving deep today, aren't we? Interesting. We all know how to swim. Or at least float. Our decision, this will be interesting because they're almost talking about being separate, but they're not. Our decision was to come here and to disseminate this talk in paper form for you to read and to take with you in study. The students of this book are many, and they are in frequency, and we would like you to take a moment now to recognize this. And the way we would ask you to do this is to sit still and acknowledge that you are part of a group, and a large, enlarging group of people in manifestation who are coming into their own consciousness as love. And as you do this, you extend your frequency to greet them, and you go into a unity and acknowledgement with your fellow travelers, and you allow yourself to be greeted as well. So even though the guides might seem to be on a higher plane of reality, they are not better or worse than. They're doing their own work. Right? And they're doing their own learning in this interaction. Just as there would be, let's suppose you decided to volunteer to do some charity work. Okay? Now, you could decide to do that from a number of different ways. You could decide, oh, those poor people down there, they really need me. I have so much to give. Right. Or you could walk into that situation and say, you know, on a physical level, on a physical plane, and maybe on an intellectual plane as far as degrees go and schooling goes and things like that, I have been really blessed. I'm better off, at least as far as externals go, than those other people are. And yet I'm entering into this with a spirit of I have something to give them, but they have also something to give me. I don't know what that is yet. But I am entering into this situation out of a sense of love and compassion, knowing that I also am going to be on the receiving end, that I also am going to be learning something from this. And for that I am very, very grateful. And that changes the whole perspective of things. There's no better than or worse than. There's just have, you know, I don't know what you have to give me, but you know you have something. Could be just your smile. It could be, yeah, and your smile might be a realization to me is, here is someone who is happier than I am, who has much less than I do. How did that happen? Remember always you are not alone in this work. This work is passage work, and while it feels solitary at times, it is not. You have many friends and teachers who are standing beside you to usher you into the next phase of your evolution. You can think of this as a personal thing if that gives you support. But the net has been cast in a large way, and there are many that are being gifted with their knowing as the times herald the new creation. We speak today of manifestation, of what it means to call into being your own knowing. I am worthy is a title. I am worthy is my knowing. I am worthy is the song your lips must sing. I am worthy of this journey. I am worthy of my God. I am worthy of all that I see before me. I am worthy of this journey. I am worthy of my God. I am worthy of all that I see before me. The book of Revelation speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. And that means a new understanding of heaven and earth as well. And we are actively involved in the process of creating that. It's not like we're, well, okay, new heaven, new earth. When is that going to show up? Boy, it doesn't look like it's happening now. Looks like we got a lot of the same old heaven and the old earth. Right? Same old ideas, same old, same old. By the way, if you ever ask me how things are going and I say same old, shoot me. Because it's time for me to die. Now here's the challenge of manifestation. Manifestation only works if you take responsibility for it. It's not like, okay, well, I think I got to get moving on manifesting a new heaven and a new earth. That's wonderful. But you don't begin at that point. You begin at the point of saying to yourself, look what I've manifested now. Look what we've manifested now. It's not just a personal thing. Here is the heaven and earth we have manifested at this moment. Right. As the Course in Miracles says, we either create through consciousness or through default. This is a world we have created mostly through default. Okay? And it is becoming more and more and more and more and more and more polarized as time goes on. The more polarization that happens, the separation of this and that, the infighting, the blaming, the shame, the guilt, the ain't it awful, right? The more of that that goes on, the more our awareness wakens up. Now what most people do with that awareness is start pointing the finger again and blaming somebody else for this, which simply increases that sense of separation. Now remember what that prayer said right in the beginning was, a part of myself outpictured in form. This is my sense of separation. This is my overblown ego. This is my sense of outrage. This is all of the things that you and I carry on inside of us that we have been unwilling to unmask or look at or transform. Bless you. And so we are beginning now at this particular point in our study of not just saying, are you willing? Do you have the intention and the willingness to transform? Now it is, do you have the intention and the willingness to work on transforming this world, this planet that we live in? I remember a bumper sticker I saw years ago, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And I love that. I went, yeah, right on, I'm outraged, okay? And then I had to wonder, where's my outrage doing me? Where's that taking me? And all it took me to was more outrage. Okay, it didn't change anything, just made me a little bit more angry than I was before, okay? So here's where we're moving towards in this next section. I think this is really powerful and wonderful because we are where we are right now is, what am I going to do? How can I see this differently? How can I hold this in love? How can I hold this in light? Because it's going to be, if you haven't noticed this already, it's going to be so easy to fall into playing the game, ain't it awful? Or deciding, well, I'm going to ignore that because that's too negative. We were talking about this a little bit before class, Ray and Phil and myself. If you ignore something, it does what, remember what Carl Jung talked about, the shadow? He said, you know, when we're born, it's like you have this great big garbage bag. And everything that comes up for you that seems unacceptable, or you're told is unacceptable, gets thrown in the bag. So let's suppose you grew up in a really strict, fundamentalist kind of family, right? So let's say sex was wrong, or anything that had to do with that. I heard an interesting comment about that. Sex was so mean, nasty, ugly, and dirty that you saved it for the one you loved. Okay, so let's suppose you grew up in an environment like that, okay? And so you take anything that strikes you as being sexual in thought or desire, and you throw it in the bag. I can't do that. Or, you know, so whatever. Well, I grew up in a family where you were not supposed to get angry. People did, but you weren't supposed to do that. Kids especially. So I took all of the anger that I had as a child, which was a lot, right, and stuffed it in the bag. In other words, kind of pretended it wasn't there, so it all kind of sinks down into your unconscious. Now, it would be great if that garbage bag was just a bag that I had to lug around. But see, everything you throw in the bag has a life of its own. And eventually what's going to happen is it's going to come out and bite you in the behind. So all of my suppressed anger comes out, let's say, as depression, right? Or comes out in violence towards me or towards somebody else. You know, driving my car too fast, or drinking too much, right? Or eating the wrong things. I mean, there are all sorts of different kinds of violence we can get into towards ourselves or towards somebody else. And so what we're saying here is something very similar is going on here on a global sense, is you can't ignore what's going on. The real challenge, though, is to take responsibility for what's going on. I created that. I contributed to creating this mess. Hear no evil, speak no evil. Right. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Zee. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I was little, I was always told to be nice. And when I look up the word nice, the original word nesere means be ignorant. Mm. And so when you're being nice, you just step in the bag.
One of our middle granddaughter, when she was really small, Margot used to say, Margot kept liking to say, oh, Paige, that's nice. She said, it's not nice. I'm not nice. I'm 2.5. And she stuck to it. All right? I'm not nice. I'm 2.5. I'm not going to beat that one over the head, but I just feel so strongly about this these days, all right, of accepting my responsibility. Right? And saying, because, and again, it's very easy to get into victim consciousness by accepting that responsibility, but saying, no, I am accepting my responsibility in the manifestation of the world the way it is right now, because I am also accepting the responsibility in being able to transform this. I can hold this in love, I can hold this in light. I can combine my energies with all of those others who are holding this in love and holding this in light. And I will let go of my expectations of how I think that's supposed to show up. Well, I'm going to hold this situation in light, and then this is going to happen. No, that's not it. That's not real prayer, and that's not real faith. Real faith says, I will hold this in light, and it will be transformed into something that is even better than my mind could possibly imagine, even though it might not appear that way in this moment. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to let go of my perception of what I think the answer to my prayer ought to be, to put it in hands bigger than mine or bigger than my ego, to put it in the hands of my divine self, who will transform this through my willingness and through my intention and through my holding this in love and light, will transform this into something even better than I could even imagine, even though it doesn't show up 5 minutes from now. Am I willing to live in that space? And see how that's not passive. That is probably as active as we can be. And as we well know, in the object of even manifesting something in the physical world, it's got to be manifest sort of in the psychic world or in the astral world before it's going to be manifest in the physical world. And the more resistance there is, the more time, which is also kind of an illusion, the more time it's going to take for that to be manifest there. That's just the way it is. So it's ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Well, how many times should I ask? Like Peter said, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? Hey, dig me. I'm forgiving 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. Which was really a mystical number that meant forever, okay? How many times should I knock? As often as you need to. How many times do I need to surrender? As often as you need to. How many times do I need to pray for it? As often as you need to. Well, that's no answer. Of course, no answer to my intellect. My intellect wants a magic number. Knock 3 times. Rub the lamp 3 times. We are telling you that this is the time of a new creation. And the plane that you exist in is about to lift in a grand way. A light will come to illumine all that which is held in darkness, and the darkness must be released. This is good news. This is wonderful news. But those of you that are already resonant with the light will already be lifting in frequency as this occurs. Now this is a really, really tricky space here. Because first of all, you can say, oh, well, it's already happening, so I don't have to do anything. But those of us who already know that we are raising our frequency and being raised in frequency need to participate in more in that, in a more energetic kind of way. Right? It's an active process. And we are actively involved in this. And so I don't say to myself, well, I'm raising my vibration now, and here's the way I'm going to look. I'm going to look younger. I'm going to look taller. My hair is going to change, or it's going to grow back, or whatever, okay? Now, I am raising my vibration to the highest level I possibly can, and I am lovingly participating in this creation of a new heaven and a new earth, even though I have no idea what that's going to look like. I am here. It is happening already. The planetary changes that you have been witnessing are an aspect of shifting. And the consciousness that you are beginning to become aware of amongst the people on the planet, which calls for inclusiveness, is an awakening. Now that, again, that sounds wonderful. But let me say this. The planetary changes that you have been witnessing. Now many of the planetary changes we have been witnessing have been really crappy. You know, North Korea is doing this, they're doing that over there, Boko Haram is doing this, ISIS is doing this, blah, 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 we're doing this, you know, look what's happening over here, blah, blah. So, but what it's saying is, those things are happening, and they are the harbingers of change. If you are willing to look at them that way, this is like an alarm clock going off. We're not judging those things as being good or bad. We're judging those things or looking at those things as being an aspect of an awakening. How many alarm clocks do you freaking need? before we decide to say, I am willing to change this. I am willing to become actively involved in this process of change, in this process of transformation. I am willing, as soon as I discover a thought about negativity in my mind, I am willing to release that and let it go. Let's just start there. I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. Drop it. Oh, did you hear what he did today? Drop it. Oh, I don't know, I just read about this. Drop it. Read it, be informed, and drop it. We always have a choice. When you drop it, whatever it is, whatever that piece of negativity might be, if it's directed towards you or towards somebody else, we always have a choice, because this is really where the transformation takes place. My choice is now, can I hold this being in love? Can I hold the light for them until they discover it for themselves? Can I pray to be able to see them as a divine child of God beyond their personality self? It's not about that. Practically everything we are experiencing right now on planet Earth in terms of negativity is all wrapped up in personality selves. Obviously, it has nothing to do with the divine self. The only thing it has to do with the divine self is that we're ignoring that. That's what we're pretending isn't there. Well, I can't stand so-and-so, so I'm going to pretend their divine self doesn't exist because I really like not standing them. You ever been there?
I've been reading A Course of Love again, and it really, really, really simple. You know, if you want to live in Christ consciousness, there's two things they explain to you need to eliminate is fear and judgment. And I thought, you know, I made it so simple. If you just keep that in your mind, that them two things.
And the way we do that is we notice when we have thoughts. I don't say, well, I'm going to eliminate fear and judgment from my life. That's nice. But we're asked to be aware of thoughts that enter into our mind that are a reflection of fear or judgment. And notice that once we become aware of them, we might not be aware of them right away, but once we become aware of them, we have a choice. We can feed them more fertilizer, okay? Or we can drop them and we can begin to think thoughts of love and peacefulness or non-judgment. Well, the opposite of judgment is forgiveness. That's the way I would put it, okay? So I have a choice of thinking thoughts of love or forgiveness. Basically towards myself. Oh, I think I'll forgive so-and-so. No, start with you. I really held on to that thought 5 minutes longer than I needed to because I wasn't aware of it. And so part of me must have been really enjoying having it. Okay. But I think I'll let that go. Ah, fear. And so one of the things we can do is you know, give ourselves the opportunity to create some images in your mind about how to, let's suppose the part of your body that you're fearful of. You know, let's suppose I, you know, my sugar level numbers are creeping up, right? So there's something wrong with my pancreas. So as soon as I think about my pancreas, I get afraid. Why don't I give my pancreas some love today? Why don't I imagine that surrounded by light? Why don't I see if I can take in some more sweetness in my life? Rather than trying to do that through what I'm eating, why don't I do that through what I'm seeing, or what I'm feeling, or who I'm being with?
I'm running into a little bit of a wall, and I know you have said, if you need to sign a petition, sign it. If you need to march, march it. I went to a book signing Marianne Williamson had and on her new book, and she's in a unity church with Gandhi, a huge picture of Gandhi on one side, and Martin Luther King on the other, And I mean, I get this contemplative stuff is so vital. What if they'd sat in their homes and just dropped it? Somebody's got to get off their spiritual butt and kick ass. And those were her words. So now where do we go?
Well, here's where I'm getting to. When I say drop it, I'm not talking about passivity. Okay. I'm suggesting, though, that the reason why Gandhi was so influential was that he went through years and years and years of self-cleansing. And by the time he was speaking his message, there was no judgment or condemnation left. There was just people who were becoming actively involved in that movement. Our first choice is to become actively involved in our own process of transformation. Right? Now, that might take place in some activity, we might say, but kicking spiritual butt to me today, right? First of all, I love doing this because this is kicking spiritual butt, right? And so are you. Right? But a big part of this is me doing the work that I need to do on myself. Because how else can somebody follow a higher vibration if I'm not creating that for myself? Sign a petition, go and march, but don't do it out of anger, don't do it out of fear, do it out of love. If you do it out of love, that's kicking butt. But if it's something else, it's not. Okay? Whatever you do, do lovingly. If you're doing it lovingly, whether it seems to be active in the external world or not, it is going to create a difference. Okay? It is going to create a difference. They could have put Mother Teresa up there, who said absolutely nothing to nobody pretty much most of her life.
Right.
You know? And so, she just held lepers. She just loved lepers. You know, I honestly think in some ways in this world that we live in right now, that she might have made a bigger transformation than those other two. We don't know that. Okay? But I'm just saying that when we talk about activity, a lot of that is internal and real, and sometimes just as real or even more real than what might be happening on the outside.
So maybe that's why some of our former movements haven't gotten to where they really needed to go.
That could very well be, because the idea is wonderful. Right?
But there was more anger than love.
Yeah, right? And it's gonna implode. Yeah. Thank you for loving. I know it's time to go, so we'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Peace. We're going to finish this chapter sometime, okay?
First of all, take care of yourself.
No hurry, not to worry.
And I need that.
Thank you.
Because it bothered me a lot. Yeah, but I said, Marcus, it just.
You know, I don't know.
All right, then I'm going to let it go.